we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. It is Friday. Everybody is feeling absolutely fabulous. And so hopefully you are really gearing up for a great weekend in the Lord. This is the end of the week. And so smile. You got some downtime coming up. And I don't know about you, but when I have a day off, I really look forward to it. Fridays are my day off, and so I am really looking forward to Friday, especially because May is a great day. By the way, today is a very special day. Of all the days at Merritt Assembly of God, this day has been the most popular day for birthdays. I think we are approaching somewhere around a half dozen to a dozen different people who have celebrated April 27th as their birthday. One of them is in the Arthurs household. So happy birthday to you. My office manager, it's her birthday. It's her mother's birthday. It's another lady in the church's birthday. And so April 27th is actually a phenomenal day. This week is also office administrators week. And so I kind of try and double up on celebrating what a fabulous office manager that we have at Merritt Assembly of God for that week and for her birthday. And so Merritt Assembly of God is truly, truly blessed. This is a great day. I hope that you are planning on having a phenomenal day. There's also other things that are going on today, and we are making those a matter of prayer. But I don't think I've mentioned this yet. By the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and two blocks south of Merritt Avenue and Mila Elementary. So right in that Merritt Park Place subdivision, that's where we are. And you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM. We do want to say thank you today to the fine folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. Let me spell that for you so you can know how to recognize their vehicles as they're driving down the road. It's W-E-I-R-I-C-H, Wyrick Air. Area code 321-632-9538. If you are here in Brevard County, you can give them a call, and they will get you up and running for your air conditioning, your heating, or your electrical needs. Probably not going to need that heat much more this year, although I did talk to somebody last week, and it was still very, very cold where they were. So you wouldn't, in fact, they talked about they were going to have to turn the heater on in their car while I was talking to them. So thank God we live in Florida. But because we live in Florida, you need an air conditioner. Air conditioning makes Florida habitable. And so if your unit needs some TLC, or if you need an upgrade to cause your electric bill to go lower, give the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric a phone call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538, and tell Carla that you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and Dennis and his team will come out. They will get you up and running, and you will be cool once again. So, by the way, you notice I repeat those phone numbers a lot. Here's just a little practical tip that I'd like to share with you out there. It has no spiritual value whatsoever. It's just a thing that I learned back when I was in business, and that is if you are leaving a message on the answering machine, if you would be sure when you call to speak your name very clearly and your phone number very clearly and repeat the information. It is something that is easier that way for people to verify and don't do 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. You want to repeat it with enough time so that somebody can get that information, write it down, and then when you repeat it, they're able to double check. And if you didn't pronounce your name very clearly the first time, it gives you another opportunity and it gives their ears a second opportunity. And so that's just a little freebie there. And especially if you're applying for a job, it really helps to know if you're the employee that they want to talk to or not, the future employee that they'd like. So let's get to the Word of God today. And I do want to encourage you, if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and visit with us at Merit Assembly of God. God has been doing some great things. We have seen some answers to prayer for which we are truly grateful. And we are coming up on Mother's Day. Listen, I am more stoked about Mother's Day 2018 than any Mother's Day that I can remember. And no, it's not because it's my birthday, even though it is my birthday. It's the third time that my birthday has fallen on Mother's Day since I've pastored the church. And as a result of that, I have mixed feelings about it. But God is going to do a great thing at Merit Assembly of God. And so I want to invite you ladies, that's going to be on May the 13th. If you are hurting, if you've been wounded, if you've been traumatized, I have got a healing word that I want to share with you on that day. And like I tell everybody who I have the opportunity to communicate about that particular service, it's not anything I've ever heard anyplace else. It's not a text I've ever heard preached from. Not saying anyone's ever not done it before, but I do know that I have a word from God for those who are there that day. And so, ladies, we're going to treat you extra special that day. If you come to Merit Assembly of God, you will be blessed, and we look forward to that. So let's get into the Word of God today. We are going to launch out into Matthew, the fourth chapter today. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Chapter 3 ends with a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." We all like to hear that. The next verse, verse number 1 of chapter 4, says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city to set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." The first thing that I would like to share with you about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness is this. Jesus demonstrates for us in this passage that there is victory over temptation. Just because temptation comes doesn't mean that we have to fall prey and end up being the defeated person in that. And so temptation does not have to be just another notch on the devil's belt. We can victoriously resist him. And the key to that, quite simply, is on one hand, the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. We live in a day and time where the Word of God has never been more readily available than it is right now. You can get the Word in umpteen different versions. I don't know how many different languages. You can get Bibles with study notes for men, study notes for teens, study notes for youth, study notes for kids, study notes for women, study notes for seniors, study notes for military personnel. You can get a smart app on your phone and you can get the Word on there. You can actually have an MP3 player that you carry around with you, and you can have the Word on that. I'm old enough to remember the Word of God on cassettes, narrated by Alexander Scorby. The Word of God is there. It's available. You've never had access to so many sermons and so much material in all your life, in the history of the world. And yet, with all that availability, there is a tremendous illiteracy of what the Word of God is. There is a vast number of people who do not understand the Word of God. First of all, you can't approach the Word of God with your head first. You have to approach the Word of God with your spirit first. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, many people do not embrace something until they understand it. Your spirit says this: I may not understand what God has said, but I understand and trust that when God speaks, he speaks it for my own good. And so even though I don't understand everything about it with my head, I understand with my spirit that this is something that I need to do or something that I need to avoid. And so the Holy Spirit comes and aids your understanding. It comes many times at a later time. I was reading an email last week. It was a minister's newsletter subscription that I have. It's free. And a young minister was talking to an aged minister, and he said, I just don't understand about all of the pain and the affliction that I've gone through. And the elder statesman patted him on the shoulder and he said, my son, your congregation to whom you speak will notice the difference. And even though you do not understand, they will understand that you have a message of victory that they will be able to relate to. There are many times that we don't understand why we are going through something at the beginning, but at the end of the process, we say, you know what? God has worked that out for my good. I don't want to ever go through that again, but I wouldn't take anything that the world has to offer for me in that right now. So here we have Jesus just coming up from his baptism, the heavens being opened, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, the voice of the Father crying from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There is that tremendous voice of affirmation, and then the Holy Spirit comes and takes Jesus away from that very dynamic place. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? When I got baptized, the heavens didn't open. When I got baptized, there wasn't a voice from heaven. There was no dove falling from the sky. But everything that happened at Jesus' baptism in the Spirit was true. And that is this: because I had asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to be the Lord of my life, and I wanted to embrace his will, not my will. I wanted to pursue his plans and purposes for my life. There was a decree from the throne room of heaven that I did not hear with my ear, but that was echoed in the Spirit, that Bob Arthurs is a child of the living God, and God is pleased. That's the beginning of a great, great testimony there. When you know that you are a child of the living God. Now, please understand, it is that declaration that Satan comes to tempt right off the bat in chapter 4. Okay, let me remind you of the declaration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's an extensive period of time. I have been able to do restricted food fast for 40 days. I have done soup and juice fast for 40 days. I have only managed to do water fast, exclusively water, for a much shorter period of time. I was talking about a pastor friend of mine about it, and he says, you're on the go all the time. And, you know, during that fast, I was setting aside time for reading and praying and things like that. But to be just isolated, cut off from everything, my schedule doesn't allow that to take place at this point in time. And during that time, your body begins to suffer some ramifications of the lack of supply that it is accustomed to. A couple of weeks ago, I was desperate for the presence of God, and so I did a water only fast, and about 40 hours into it, might have been a little bit more, but for approximation's sake, we'll say 40 to 44 hours. And then all of a sudden, I was having a hard time maintaining mental focus. I was having a difficult time just producing any energy at all. And so, and then I got a monster, powerful headache. And I was like, okay, I've got to change this. I've got to do something here, because I've got something that I've got to do. I've got to continue to function. I've got to continue to speak words of life. There's a physical drain. I want to encourage you that fasting is not about the cutting off. It is about the leaning into a different supply. And during that time, during that 40 hours, I was leaning into God. I was praying and reading my Bible and worshiping. I was setting aside that time specifically for Him, even in the midst of my schedule. So lean into God, but you can rest assured that whenever you begin to run harder after God, that the devil is not going to let go without a fight. Many times, the worst adversity comes when you have decided that you are going to repent and turn around and stop running away from God, and you are going to start running to God, and the devil does not want to give that up at all. And so Satan comes to him, and I want to read this to you, because whenever a truth is revealed, then Satan will come and try and challenge that truth. That's what he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. It's what he did with Eve. He said, "Has God really said?" And she said, "This is what God said." Well, he's got less than honorable motives for saying that to you. The devil will always challenge the thing that you've heard. Listen to the temptation. It says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now that sounds like a rather innocuous temptation. It wasn't about whether or not Jesus had the ability to literally multiply nutrition, because he does that in the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. It is not about the ability that Jesus had. The point of the temptation was to try and get Jesus to doubt his identity. Okay, I want to say that again. The point of this temptation was not about the bread. It was to try and get Jesus to doubt his identity and verify his identity by doing something supernatural when his identity was actually declared by the Father. Okay? I want you to understand, if God has never told you, if you have never read in his word, I don't care who may have told you that you are a child of God. If you do not, if your witness and the Holy Spirit are not bearing witness that you're a child of God, you need to find that. And the way that you and I get that is not only through that internal witness, but are we the child of God that the word of God describes? Have we repented? Have we asked God? I'm not asking you if you're perfect. If you're perfect, you're listening to the wrong preacher. Because I don't know how to minister to perfect people because I've never been perfect. But if the word of God says that he has given you the right to be the child of God, then do not let your circumstances, do not let the deceiver, do not let the tempter, do not let the liar come and get you to question who you are in Christ Jesus. There are too many children of God out there that are functioning with a lack of awareness. They are functioning with a spiritual amnesia. They don't know who their Father is. They don't know their place in the body of Christ. And by that, I mean that you are a child of the living God. And so Jesus responds and he says this: "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Literally in John chapter 4, Jesus told the disciples, "I have meat to eat that you don't know anything at all about yet." And he let Satan know that he was not going to feast on some crunchy bread that used to be stones, but he was going to feast on the words that come from the mouth of God. And so you would find that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 16, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so let me just try and help you here with this. Jesus only did the things that he saw the Father do, and he only spoke the things that he heard the Father speak. It's a very safe place. I had my we had a minister's meeting at our church in April. And a person was describing a situation where they were talking to a person that needed some guidance. And their advice was this: don't do one thing more or one thing less than what God tells you to do. It's a tremendous place to live, to have such a relationship with God that you see what he's doing and you do it. And you know what God wants to speak, and you speak it. Now, the children of Israel never learned this lesson. Many Christians never learn this lesson. Let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 5, where that is quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 5 describes another encounter that the children of Israel had. And so verse number 23. "So it was when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, 'Surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire.' We have seen this day," listen to the lesson that the children of Israel say that they learned that day when they heard the voice of God and they saw his glory. "We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. And you know what that's called? That's called baloney in Oklahoma. Not because what they were saying wasn't true, but they weren't going to honor the things that they said. Their perception was that if you heard the voice of God, it was going to kill you. There are people who believe that if you become a child of God, that you're not going to have any joy in your life. You're not going to have any more fun. You're not going to have any more friends. You're not going to be able to do anything. And that is exactly the opposite. And the children of Israel, they said, if we hear God anymore, it's going to kill us. That's the lesson that they got. And you know what their solution was? You go, you hear, and you come back and tell us, and we'll obey. And you know what they were just saying to Moses? Said, we know that if you hear God, it's not going to kill us, and it's not going to kill you. The truth of the matter is, folks, that God wants us to come to that place where we are so hungry for the Word of God, so hungry for His presence, so hungry to have that supernatural God encounter that it's more important than food. If we had, Jesus made a choice that day. He could either turn stones to bread or he could trust that his identity was exactly who God said he was, the Son of the Most High God. He was God's beloved Son, and that he was well pleased. If you have to prove yourself to somebody in order for them to be pleased with you, you're serving the wrong individual. God is thrilled with us as his children. He's not looking for us to work to earn his pleasure. He wants us to know that because we are his kids, because he is pleased with us, he's going to work in us and through us to accomplish great and mighty things. We work because we realize God created us for a purpose, a divine purpose for such a time as this. And so today, I just want to encourage you, know that you are a child of God. If you don't know that, say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And you will be a child of the living God. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Soul. I will dance, I will sing to be a man.